They love this idea of changing the name of a non-Jew, of a Jew that is an apostate. We change his name, Lignai. Shimon, remember we learned yesterday, Shimon Kippa, they called him Petach Amor. And here he goes out into a little more detail, and he's going to come out with something very interesting. I think what he says over here, we have to figure out if there's any relevance. We're about to learn why we say Chazak Chazak v'nis Chazek when we finish a Sefer Chumash. I'm sure there are many reasons why we do this and when exactly we start. This is interesting, but over here he opens up a whole new track as what he's about to say. Maybe it's not what I'm saying. It's nonsense. Where I'm trying to extrapolate. Maybe not. You'll be the judge. Kuf Tzadi Gimel Im Hanochrim Koyrim L'Shem Kiddushos K'Shem Hamalochim. What happens if a non-Jew calls L'Shem Kiddushos K'Shem Hamalochim She'asu To'eva? They call holy things. They call Kiddushos. I think what he means over here is items that are not holy. It's a euphemism. It's things that they designate, things that they designate as avodah zarah, kiddush, like a kedesha. A kedesha is a harlot. So kiddushos here means their abominations. Kishem hamalachim, and they call their abominations by names of angels. So let's say, for example, they have an idol, and they call the idol Michael. She'asu to'eva. He gives two examples, L'shem Michael or L'shem Gabriel. Mishanim Shemam, so what do? When we refer to this idol, we're not allowed to call it by the name of Michael and Gabriel. If you want to go teach, talk about it, for whatever reason, there's a need to mention this particular idol. And in the secular world, the idol is known by the name Michael or the name Gabriel. That's how the whole world refers to it. So if you're going to go and you're gonna mention it, you're gonna have to specify what you're referring to. The only way you're gonna be able to specify what you're referring to is by calling it Michael or Gabriel. But that's a disgrace because Michael and Gabriel are holy angels, and they are very insulted that the non-Jews or apostates have taken their holy name and have used it as a title of reference for an idol. So what do? What? I don't know examples. I don't know. Shari Amru, I don't know. Shari Amru, now what's the reason? So Shari Amru, he brings a pasuk in the Torah to show you the principle that it's no good. Shari Amru, es avihi mechaleles. Shekorin la'av rasha. This is a halach, he says. It's incredible. If a father has a daughter, a father who's a kohen has a daughter, and the daughter is mezane, so he, the Sefer Chasidim, is giving us a chiddush lahalacha. He's giving a chiddush lahalacha. You call the father a rasha. Whenever you want to give an aliyah, you call b'yamoid Ruvain harasha. You don't give an aliyah. You call him a rasha. Why? Because she has profaned her father's name by behaving in such a way. People will say, where did she learn to do such terrible averos? It must be from her father. So her father has shekorin lo'ov rasha. So how is that relevant to what he just said over here? Right. He's dashing a pasuk. You've never heard this today, such a thing today. You're never going to ever hear it today, such a thing that if Rachmana Litzan, a parent as a child, becomes an apostate, you're going to go and you're going to call the father rasha. Look, go back to Rabbeinu Gershon. Rabbeinu Gershon is as holy as it gets. And Rabbeinu Gershon has a son who became a kofer. So did you ever hear? So what? How do you reconcile what it says over here, the way he dies with Rabbeinu Gershon? I have no idea. But
he's saying it's a posse.
It's a halacha. Shekar in love, you call the father Russia. Maybe you'll say because there it's a girl. It's a girl. So a girl in ancient times was much more under the influence of her father, right. Whereas a boy is independent. So you're saying that Rabbeinu Gershom had a daughter that happened to, it would have been different? I don't know. But he's over here, he's quoting a pasuk, and he interprets this halacha, and obviously tell you, we don't follow such a halacha today. Shekorim of Rasha. Now, so how is that relevant? Same thing over here. Here we have Michael, and if Michael is now being used to refer to Avodah Zarah, so I don't really know how to connect the dots. Okay, let's read a little bit more. We'll read a little bit of parish on the side, maybe it'll become clear. Let's read a few lines. Now, the Taimar, Lefi Shehoaf Pashaya. Is it really correct? Just because the father was negligent, he did not go give her mussar, and we should punish the father by calling the father by calling the father a rasha? Is that really fair? Even Esav ben Yitzchak, we don't blame Yitzchak. No one ever criticized Yitzchak. Let's see. V'zeo shenemar. Now, I don't know what he means by that. Maybe he refers to, you know, we do have a famous chazal that tells us that there's going to be the Sudas Leviosan, and they're going to pass around the Koshal Bracha. And the first is going to give it to Avraham Avinu. M'chubid Avraham Avinu with benching. And what is he going to say? Can't. I'm disqualified. I have a son whose name is Yishmael. And if I'm disqualified, they're going to give it then to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is going to say, I'm also disqualified because I have a son, Esav. Who's next? Yaakov. I married two sisters. Right. I did not very married two sisters. Then the fourth one, David, yeah, for me it's fitting. That's well, right. He's the last. There's only four. It's a very short medrash. Who's after David? After Yaakov? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Then they go to Yosef? What was wrong with Yosef?
No.
I think it goes straight. I think it's only four. The whole marriage, there are four people. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one is rejected. And then they give it to David. And David says, that's right. That's right. I deserve it. It's fitting for me to bench on this Koshal Bracha. Kois Yeshuas Esau V'Shem HaShem Egra. That's the Chazal. But what do you learn from this Chazal? What do you take out of it? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when everything is said and done, they consider themselves guilty because it is from them came harm. Came harm Yishmael and Esav. Yaakov considers the fact that he married. I guess not. Avshalom was, I don't know, obviously it wasn't the same level. It didn't have effect on the world. Yitzchak, I mean, Yishmael and Esav had a major effect on the entire world. Obviously, when it says that Yaakov, I married two sisters, it also has to mean something much deeper. It has to mean something much deeper where his behavior also had influence on the world and it brought harm to this world. What is the connection? I don't know. But the Gemara is grouping them together. There must be something very, very deep where he feels that just that he married two sisters, obviously, that created in this world a dynamic which is something which was not to the benefit of the world. So why? But these are the Avos. They're perfect. Aren't they not perfect? Aren't we saying they're perfect? Well, obviously, you know, there's an issue over here. So he's saying it's no different. That's really what's happening over here. There is Yitzchak. I think he's alluding to that. We'll see the commentary in one moment. V'zeo shenemar. Now, we're going backwards to Michael. He's going back to what we learned yesterday in the Halacha. In Halacha, Kuf. Tzadi Beis, V'esahi Yamoid Michael Hasar Hagadol, the great Tsar, Ha'oimed who stands, Al B'nei Amecha, he is the guardian angel of the Jewish people. The Hoysan is going to be at that time of Yimos HaMashiach, Eis Tzara, the Melchemes Goyv U'Mogoyv, Asher Lo Niyosa, that never existed, Mihiyos Goy, from the time that we were a nation, Ad Ho'esahi, and nevertheless, at that moment in time, yimolet amicha, the Jewish people, your nation will escape. Kol hanimsa kosuv ba'sefer, anyone that is written, their name is written in the book, which basically means they have a zuchus. This is a pasuk in Sefer Daniel, referring to the times of Milchemes Pashtus, Milchemes Goig u'Magoig, and it begins by telling us that our Sar HaGodol Michael is going to be there to defend us. Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malochoi Lifonecha. Okay, we have a pasuk in Chumash, Hashem, so I'm going to send a malach in front of you. Now, in this pasuk, if you go through the letters of the Aleph Beis, you're going to discover there are three letters that are missing. Are they the only letters that are missing? I don't know, I didn't check, but there are three letters that are missing. Nelam Mizeh HaPasuk Chazak. Ches, Zayin, and Kuf. Now, obviously, that means if we could have rewritten the pasuk, I'm not equipped to rewrite a pasuk. But if he's saying this, the Sefer Chasidim is telling us the pasuk could have been rewritten in a way where these three letters would have appeared. And if these three letters would have appeared, it would have had an entirely different meaning. It would have had much more weight. Bishvil, sheyecholim l'chanois loyshem. The reason why these letters are absent, because they wanted l'chanois loyshem. They wanted to call Michael by a derogatory term. When they summoned in Shemayim Michael to stand as the defendant, to defend, to get him. What?
Defender
of the Jewish people. They sent for him. It was an ace Tzara Liyakov. The accusation, the Malach that was accusing Klal Yisrael was there in full force. We need a lawyer. Where's the lawyer? Call for Michael to come defend us. When they were about to make the announcement, Michael should come forward. It was on their tongue to call Michael by a derogatory name, to change his name in a way that would be degrading and insulting. And you know, it's not in Shemayim when you call someone by a nasty name; it's a big deal. Maybe in this world, it's not such a big deal by everyone for someone to say something nasty about you, but in the Olam HaEmes, when they called Michael by a derogatory term, it would have been a very, very great busha uchlima, not just for Michael, for Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael is being, their defending angel, is they call him, they say something nasty about him, you know, that changes the whole, his stature as a defender for Klal Yisrael. V'hu sameach al zeh. And yet, Michael, even though he would have been a bushel chlim, was very pleased, was very happy that he would have been disgraced. They're very happy, really, they're very happy to be mekabel b'zioinais, because b'zioinais is a kapara for chait. Shenemar, Ponai, it says in Yecheskel. Yecheskel says that when he wanted to say prophecy, he was. They despised him. They spit on him. Ponai lo yistarti. I did not conceal my face. Miklimois, from being put to shame, voroik, and from spit. People came up to Yecheskel. They spit in his face. And if he wanted, he could have went away. He could have avoided it. He chose not to. He chose to accept the bezyonos, l'shem shemayim, for as a kapara for his neshama. Furthermore, that was Yeshaya. Yeshaya, it says here, they spit in the face of Yeshaya. Can you imagine such a thing? They spit in his face, and he suffered insult. And Yecheskel was worse. V'Yecheskel shegileach zikonoi, they shaved off his beard. Now, in ancient times, you shave someone's beard, there could not be a bigger bizillion. Today, it's, you know, today everyone might have a good shave, say someone taking a shave. But in those days, someone had to have a beard. It was disgraceful. And they shaved off his beard as a way of being mevazehem. And now he goes back to Yeshaya again. The Yeshaya shalach oroim v'yochef, he walked naked. It seems they took away his clothing. So he was very happy. The Sefer Chasidim is reading a lot into this pasuk over here. He was very, very pleased that they were ready to be mevazim. It does not seem at the end of the day they wanted to be mevazim. They did it. But all of this is hidden in the fact that these three letters are absent. Chazak. The letters chazak are absent. Because those letters are absent, these are like in Yenei Kabbalah, it seems. There's a little mysterious over here. Maybe we'll read together inside in a few moments. Not so we're actually right now. Let's see, let's try to get more insight by reading the parish on the side. On the very, very top right side. Im Im Oivdei Avodah Zarah Kared. Ayin Zayin stands for Oivdei Avodah Zarah. If idol worshippers call an object by a name of a malach, so when we refer to it, we have to refer to it by a derogatory term. Even though in essence, what are we doing to the malach? We are disgracing the malach. See, it's a no-win situation. On the one hand, you can't call the avodah zarah by a name of dignity because it's avodah zarah. On the other hand, we are now disgracing the malach. If the goyim have taken a church and they've named it Michoel, the Grand Church of Michoel. So when we refer to it, we have to refer to the Grand Church of whatever. We'll take the word Michoel and play with it. It'll be a negative expression. But in the process of doing so, we are disgracing Michoel. So whatever you do is no good. To call it by Michoel, you can't give legitimacy to the church. To call it by a derogatory term, you're disgracing the shame, Michoel. That's the way it is. It's not a perfect world. What's the raya? His raya is from the halach that if a father has a daughter who commits adultery, we blame the father and we call the father Rasha. Because the daughter has a connection to the father, she damages the father when she does an avera. A person who has a name al shame, I'm not sure that al means. I'm not sure that means over there. Yesh lenikra shayeches imi shenikra olaf. High shame. A person who has a name al shame. Acher, or I don't know. A person gets a name. You're named after someone. Your name, when you get a name, your name, you're carrying the legacy of the person whom you are named after. And if the person does an avera, you're putting to shame that ancestor whom you're named after. We only see, it's very interesting, we look at it the other way around. We're brainwashed and thinking, wow, you can do whatever you want, right? You come into this world, you want to be a tzaddik, be a tzaddik. You want to be a rasha, be a rasha. We're giving you this name because hopefully in the Olam HaEmes, the neshama that had that name will be your guardian angel, will be your advocate. Being that he's going to find out somehow there's someone in this world that carries his name, he now has a vested interest in you, and he was a very big tzaddik, and he's going to look out for you. He's going to help you along in this world. That isn't the way we think of it. Do I have any obligations to him? Nothing. Right? I have no obligations to him. It's a one-way street. He, the one who I'm named after in heaven, is going to look down to help me. But if I mess up, so I mess up. So that means that my guardian angel didn't help me. That's all it means. He writes here, between the lines, it's just the opposite. If you are given a name, that means whatever you do in this world affects that person who you named after. You're the one that has to hustle and get to work to be mezakeh, the one that you named after. When you think this world, they're going to help you. They're in another world. They can't do anything where they are. You are the one that's here to help them. It's just the opposite.
Don't we say that a son is the one who helps his father?
Bro kara d'avua.
Yeah, it's the son. The son can do everything for the father.
The bro kara d'avua, the brother, is the leg. The father can move. You're the legs. You're the ones that can make the father move in the Olam HaEmes. The father is not the legs. He's not the one that's going to make you move in this world. He can do nothing in the other world.
But what about Me'elis Yoshim? If it's your people, they pass away, and they're a Me'elis Yoshim.
So obviously, they're both true. But unfortunately, we're brainwashed that it's a one-way street. It's a Me'elis Yoshim, that's where it starts and ends. But the truth is, it can very well be that it's just the opposite. Even the Me'elis Yoshim is just a fraction. But what we do the effect that it has on the neshama for whom we are named is much greater. Okay? Very big issue. People have a very, very big dilemma. Do you have to name a child after someone? Let's say, Baruch, you have a large family, and you've already named all the names that are necessary. Or let's say other family members. There are already 10 Davids in the family. Everyone is alive, Baruch Hashem, and all the names that need to be named have been taken care of. Do you have an option? I like this name, and I want to give it, and I'm not naming it after anybody. What? Okay, a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Why not? A lot of people do it. I'm not saying that some people feel that if you're giving a name, you don't have a name. We don't know how these things work. Okay, no one came back to tell us. But maybe you should, even if you have no name. So find someone. Lav davka in your family. Find someone that you like. You learn every shah. You learn. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, I'm gonna name Yehuda. I'm gonna name after someone. I'm gonna name it after Yehuda Chassid, Rabbi Yehuda, because I have no name. All the names have already been taken up 10 times over. The last thing I need in my family is another one that has that name. Where there are already 20 of those people that have that name. Everyone's already confused, and everyone else is alive. So you know what? I'll pick a person because I want that person to be my advocate, the advocate of the child. I don't want the child to live a life as a loner. No one in heaven is looking down. Some people will say that to you, but you should know it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. It's give a name of a person. You don't have to. I know I have people in my own family that are named after nobody. So I'm not chas v'shalom. My own siblings, some of them are not named after anyone. But people who make the argument that you should always name a child after someone, they'll tell you why. Because I want an advocate. Who says they're going to be your advocate? Who says they can be your advocate? Okay, you'll tell me, Melitz Yosha, there are sources I accept. But there's something, what he says here is something even much more important. You're here in this world to give, not to take. Are you a giver or are you a taker? I'm here to give. I'm not here to take. Why don't you find the person who needs help? You find a neshama, someone that you know, you don't know, that maybe didn't have children, or maybe whatever the situation is. I'm going to name my child after this person because that person, he died without children. Or whatever the situation, I want that this child, what he does, should help that neshama in the other world. Be a giver. Don't be a taker. Or don't, if you, again, this principle, some, when I say they told nonsense. Give a name, who cares? You don't have to think about what's going on anywhere else. If you have someone in the family who needs a name, so then you give a name. But let's say you don't, that's 100% acceptable. But again, in the school of thought of people who prefer always to name a child after someone, what is your kavana? Selfish kavana or noble kavana? Are you here to give or are you here to take? Now, when you want to give, I know you're going to get into another Kabbalistic problem. And you'll say, well, if I'm going to name my child after this person who didn't have any children, I'm afraid that maybe this child will also not have any children. Right? That person's a bad mazel because he didn't have any children. Or he didn't have this, he didn't have that. He had a hard life, a very difficult life. He didn't have parnos, he didn't have this. So if I'm going to name, so then the mazel of that person who really had a hard time may come down to my child. So they'll right away say that's a counter argument.
Same thing. What? Somebody dies under 60.
Exactly. If someone dies under 60, so you'll hear this. Is there any truth to that? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, not for me to say. It's talk of truth. People talk about that. Someone dies under 60. Over 60, there's nothing to talk about. There's not an issue whatsoever. But that is, you know why you have that problem? Because your attitude is, the attitude is to take. The people are coming with that argument that I don't want to name my child after this fellow who died without children. because he had a very big mazel. And that mazel may now come and trickle down to my child. Yeah, you know why you say that? Because you look at this principle as a selfish person. You're a taker. I'm taking. He's going to be my advocate. He's going to be the guardian angel. So he can only do for me what he can do for himself. For himself, he didn't do too well. He suffered quite a bit. So he'll make it worse for me, for my child. But when you look at giving a name, not as a taker, but as a giver, let me do a mitzvah. By me doing a mitzvah, I'll be mezakeh him in the next world because we share the same name. I'll have success. So whatever in Shemayim, however these things work, it'll be a zchus for him. When you come with an attitude of being a giver, the whole question doesn't even begin. Who's in the driver's seat? Are you in the driver's seat or are they in the driver's seat? It's a very big difference, a very big difference in approach when it comes to giving names. It's a very, very important thing to think about. So over here, he loses it over here. He writes over here. They say nish nikra shem al shem acheha. I'm not sure on the name of their brother. Maybe okay. Person was given a name because I guess maybe a brother passed away. I know someone told me that his the grandparents had a child. It's a Yemenite. So he says today, Rachmanel Litzlan, when you give a name of a person who dies young, you always add a name. Like let's say a person's name was Avraham. So you say Avraham Chaim. You add a name.
You don't put the Avraham first.
Second, Chaim Avraham. There's a hakpon. You're right. There's a hakpon. You put it first. So he told me that this person says that if the grandfather had a child, they named it Avraham, and in Yemen the baby died not long after. They had a second child, and they named it Avraham after the first baby. They didn't hear any names. The Yemenites are very tamimistic, not into this taboo stuff. That child also died. And then they had a third child and they named it Avraham. And Baruch Hashem, that person is doing quite well, Bli Ayin Hara. He's a very successful person, Bli Ayin Hara. Okay, so today you would never hear such a story. Today, not possible. Two times? Maybe you make one strike. But twice? To make the same mistake twice? It would never happen today. But the Yemenites are very pure, tenuistic people, and that's what he did.
I went to Rav Steinman, that he said that he was very upset by the eulogies of when people lift they say they should be a
male. Male is your in the biography.
That they're fighting for themselves. And we're expecting them to fight for us.
Right, exactly. He said, when people talk about, this will be a male, it's Yosher. If Steinman said, they, guess what? They can't do anything for you. What are you saying? It should be a male, it's Yosher. They're in bigger trouble than you. They're subject to din. Chazal tell us. Well, no one came back to tell us what goes on. But we have to have emuna. And our emuna tells us that for 12 months, after the person dies, he goes through a din in Shemayim. And when you go and when you're on trial, you don't have time or the resource, the ability to go be an advocate for someone else. So what are you saying? Oh, you should be a male litzyosher. He's subject to din. He's not being no male litzyosher for you at this right now. It's not the right time to make such a statement.
So everybody's such a Levi's rule.
Obviously, we don't pass it like that. Rav Stein was out of the box. Okay, the whole book, every single page, really? every page of the biography is shocking, shocking stuff. It's really amazing. But okay, I guess the moral conscience. Let's go further. A person was named Yesh Linikra Shayeches Almi Shenikre Salaf. The one that is called, that's a connection to the one that he's called for. Hai Shem V'chein Yesh Shayeches Lemi Shenikre Olav. Hai Shem Lemi Shenikre B'shmoy. Okay, it goes two ways. Upoigim Zeh. Adkan. Okay, so he's telling us over here right now that a person who has a name, he's named after the deceased, it's a two-way street. What you do affects them, and their life affects you to some degree. Im kein, nikra beis avoydezor al shem hamaloch. So now, if you take a church and you call it the Michoel Church, so that means Michoel in Shemayim is in trouble. Because it's a two-way street. What you do, when you take an object or a person and you name it after someone, and then that person or that object is the source of Avera, so the one whom they're naming it after, he's in trouble. So Michoel is in a lot of trouble. Now, therefore, he's coming to explain that is why, and now I'm thinking a little better, that's why don't call it Michoel. When you refer to the church, don't call it by that name. Because if you call the church by the name Michoel, then Michoel gets a patch in Shemayim. Instead of a peckle, he gets a patch. So don't call it Michoel. Call the church by a different name.
But they usually give the name like Michael. Is that the same thing? Or is that the...
They give what?
The Catholic Church that does it.
So you want to say that Michael is Michoel?
Yeah.
We have over here in the back, Michael Miller here.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
whatever.
They do that a lot.
That's why it's spelled
A-E, Michael. Okay, so now, that was you referring to, you can't think of an example? That's what you're referring to?
Yeah,
you were making fun of you.
What?
There's
no such thing as a church named Michael. You can't.
Sure, it's one of the saints.
Excuse me, will you people stop talking about saints? Saints are human beings. They're not angels. So you're barking up the wrong tree there too. There's no such thing.
Oh, whatever it is. In Nikra Beit HaZohar Hashem Malach Mishayim Shem Malach L'Shem Acher Ayin Kein Zeh Sim Rabbi Yisrael Ayin Kein Zeh Sim Tov Shem Gimel Ayin Sim Tov Shem Okay, Sim Tov Shem Gimel. Now, Masham, going for quickly, Masham Amar V'im Taima L'fi Sha'av V'haloi Afilu Ratzlam V'im Taima L'yolim L'hay. Now, here's a question. Okay, he's coming to the question. Now, V'im Taima L'oilom L'hayesh L'chem Shayech Sahadadi Ein Poigim Zeh Zeh. It's not so. He's coming to say that I disagree with this whole principle. Who says that just because they call a church Michoel, Michoel is going to get a patch in Shemayim? That's not true. He didn't do anything wrong. The only time we go and we give a patch to someone is when they're the cause, when they're negligent, when they are directly linked, they did something. So they say that's not so. When we find in the Torah this halacha that you're supposed to call the father of a woman who is mizane a rasha, that's only in a situation where the father is to blame. The father could have given her a better chinuch, that this should not happen. Then we hold the father accountable. But if the father did nothing wrong, then we don't hold him accountable. Therefore, Michoel did absolutely nothing wrong, just because these guys want to go call a church after the name Michoel, so what does that have to do with Michoel? The Ka'amar, he rejects that. Zeinoi, the Haloi, Ratzalaymar, the Astamar, Minim, Bisanhedrin, Nimbez, the Karinan, Rishia, Fil, Rishia, Bart Sadik, the Mashma, Fil, Esav. Even Esav, we're going to call Yitzchak. He's saying a Chiddush. Afil, Bart Sadik, the Afil, Esav, we say the principle. He's saying an incredible Chiddush, and he's not saying this that openly, is that Yitzchak is guilty. He's saying over here something you could never say today. He's saying that Yitzchak over here, there is guilt. There is blood on the hands of Yitzchak. That's what he said. I'm not making this up. Because Yitzchak produced Esav. How did he allow Esav to continue in his ways and give Musar? Well, Masha'am, I think of the Gemara. Masha'am, and therefore, there's no such thing as not being guilty. If a person has a descendant that's not doing the right thing, there's always going to be a connection. Obviously, we don't say that today. Okay, we're going back to very different times. He was happy. Mishom, he skips the word Amecha. Now, what do you mean? In our book, it says the word Milas Amecha. What is this thing over here? Maybe a different girsa. Yimolet Amecha. Our text has Amecha. Mishom Shabol Lachai Rois. I guess in older editions, the word Amecha did not appear in the text. Shabol Lachai Rois Lon. Midiksiv Milas Kol. Tahai. Milas Yimolet. Lav al Milas Amecha Luchud. Koi Ela Posik Omar Shnei Dvorim. Yimolid amcha aim kol hanimsa kasa b'sefer. The haynu hamalachim shenimsa shemam kasa b'sefer. The malachim whose names appear in Sefer Doniel will be spared as well. Afal pi shemikoyach shenimsa shemam kasa b'sefer ha'oivdei avodah zarah korin beis avodah zarah shalachem b'shemam. Still yimoltu, they will escape judgment. V'lo yelohem b'zeh shum pegam. Why are they going to be spared? They come on Nelom Mizer Posik, Ches Zayin Kuf, who he has Chazoka, the Hainu, Shlo Is Beposik Ze Ois Ches Zayin Kuf, Shulishon Chazak, the Mashma, Sheyesh Lashem Shel Hamalochim Chazoka, the Ein Yecholim Lashanoi Shimon. Their names are permanent. They're not going to be changed. Elo lo is be pasuk ze ois me ois yas hazeh chazak lefi she'ein chazaka l'shmois hamalachim, because the truth is they can lose their names if they do averos. V'yicholim l'shan shemam im oivrei avodah zara karin l'beis avodah zara b'shmam. Ad kan al kein yesh lochem hamlata. That's why they need a special dispensation, because according to the ordinary rules they would be guilty. And their names would be punished. It's only because Hashem had rachmanis upon the malachim, their names, they were not punished, even though they really deserved to be punished, because the idols of this world are named after the malachim. V'lo yamrinan the shemo gorim v'nikrim ha-malachim shemois lefi ma'aseim v'pulosim v'alkein ma'ham lota yehizu ki m'shane shemoisim a'alkein omar hu samech al zeh. We have to go very slowly with this news over here, but let's just go one out of time. Just to basically wind up, that's why the letters are missing to indicate this entire thing. And really, their name should have been changed. They really should have been a pagam. Now, isn't that amazing? When we finish the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, what do we say? Chazak. Chazak v'nis chazek. Why does the tzibur scream out those words? In light of we just learned, it's as if to say, basically we're saying the Ani Manin. Ani Man b'emunah shlema, she'toras Moshe, I forgot it, b'alpeh, let me take the siddur, it's kedai, to read the words inside from the Ani Manin after davening. Nothing in the Torah will ever change. The Torah is toras emes, permanently, for all of time. Ani mamin b'amuna shalema shezois hatoira loy sehe muchlefes. It's not going to be exchanged. V'los v'loy sehe toira acheres me'es chabarei yisparach shema. Not one ois of the Torah is ever going to change. That's one of the 13 principles of faith from the Rambam. When you finish the Torah, what do we say? Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Why do you say that? There are many reasons. Okay, but what is chazak? Well, when you learn this article that we just learned, and when it comes to the Yom HaDin HaGadol, the end of days, the Yom HaDin HaGadol, and there's going to be a question, who's going to survive in this world? And they're going to call for the Malachim. Chazak is missing. Chazak is missing in that pasuk. There is no chazak. Chazak is absent. You know why it's absent? Because the malachim really, they deserve to be punished. Because they live on in this world in the form of idols. The goyim have taken their names and have built magnificent idols and churches and created religions that are denying and insulting the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, they deserve to be the chazaka. The chazaka, chazak, miloshen chazaka, deserves to be canceled. Yet, Hashem had rachmanis upon them. But the letters are absent to indicate really they should be pushed away. Mimela, when we finish chamishei chum shei Torah, each one of the chumashim, we take that same principle of chazak, and we say, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. We just concluded the chamisha chum shei Torah. Loi tehei muchlefes. V'loy tehe toira acheres me'es ha'boire yisparach shemo. This is it. There's no exchange. There's no change. That's the way it's going to be forever. That's the way it was. That's the way it's going to be forever. The word chazak now has a whole new meaning. If this is absent in this pasuk in regard to the malachim, and this is the pshat according to Rabbi Yochasan, revealing this incredible pshat, there's no chazaka for the malachim. Chazak miloshen chazaka, their predisposition or their whatever their status. There's no guarantee for them, and in fact, they should have been pushed away. We take exactly, when we say chazak, it's miloshen chazoka. The status of the Torah is permanent forever. Hachut ha-mishulash loy b'mehira yinotek, three expressions. Chazak, chazak, v'nis, chazek, mamish ki'ilu, we are reciting what it says here, the ani mamin after davening. Whole new pshat. Isn't that a whole new way of understanding when you say chazak, chazak, v'nis, chazek? We look at it like, oh, chizuk. Oh, chizuk, chizuk, chizuk. What does chizuk have to do with finishing the chamish chumshei Torah? Okay? Or you want to say yashukoyach. It's the old form. You're the one that gets the aliyah, you say to him, yashukoyach. The way you give him yashukoyach is everyone screams out and they say him, chazak, chazak, v'nis, chazek. That's why the one that gets the aliyah is not supposed to say chazak, chazak, v'nis, chazek, because you never saw someone after they get an aliyah shake their own hands. Yashukoyach to myself. You don't give yourself a yashukoyach. That's another reason why I say chazak. But here, he opens up a whole new world. It's a whole new world. You're basically opening up the siddur, and we're all saying, ani mamin b'muna shalema shaloi tehe zoi sa toira lo sehe muchlefes v'lo sehe toira acheres me'es ha'baruch shoshma. It's kedai to learn this whole sefer, just to learn that. Alright, stop here. Take a short break. We'll learn today about unconventional sources of information for Bezdin. Bezdin, Shaitin the Shaitin, a little bit of continuation of yesterday.
Just for the passport.
What do you get? I got one on Coney Island Avenue. On Coney Island Avenue, right near the there's a store, they do the entire passport for you. Not just the picture.
What they do for
you want the passport also?
No, I have a passport. Come on, I want to renew it.
You want to renew the passport? Yes, so go there. They do the whole passport for you.
They charge you what? They charge you.
They do charge you, yeah. They do charge you. But you should know, you don't have a choice. You've got to go to the post office.
You do it online.
You can send it by
online?
Mail.
You can
send it by mail.
Download the form.
Okay, I'll think about that.
Just the pictures.
But also, they know how to do it very well. It might be Kedai, do it down for a few dollars.
Okay.
They take the picture.
But $2 the
what?
The package.
They have a whole package. When do you need it? How fast do you need it?
No rush.
They charge us not the money to do the whole thing for you.
The feds charge you also, I think, $90 they charge.
So it could be they charge on top of that, they charge.
Yeah.
Whatever they charge, like going to the post office or going online, they're going to charge an additional service fee.
Yeah, okay.
But they're very responsible. They get the job done very well. They specialize in this.
Very interesting.